coming up just after 11 o'clock. But right now, it's a real pleasure to have Paul Dvorak Jr. Is back after Dvorak Jr. is back. I think I'd know how to pronounce his name after all these years. Paul Dvorak Jr. is back after a two-week hiatus from appearing on the radio, but also here back after nearly 3 years since he was last here is a great mandolin player from Ben Avon, if I recall correctly. And we'll take a listen to him first, and we'll talk and catch up a little bit, too. Please welcome Gordon Neidinger. Neidinger at the Saturday Light Brigade. And boy, that sounded great. What was the name of what you played?
Well, that was the Beethoven Mandolin Sonatina. And, not many people know that Beethoven wrote for the mandolin at all, but he did.
I was curious about that.
Yeah.
And I can't recall hearing that before. It's really great to have you back. Some people are going to be wondering about the mandolin that you're playing, which is a little different. I can't read the make from here. Can you?
This is the same one I had 3 years ago, made by Lou Stiver of Polk, Pennsylvania. He's a local guy. And his mandolins are world class.
Yeah, it's a great tone. So you... I'm trying to think. You're 17 now. And are you done with school? Well, with high school?
No, my birthday's in November, so you know I'm always the oldest of my year, but I just graduated from junior year of high school.
You make up for me. I was always the youngest with my birthday in December. And where are you going? Are you at Avonworth?
Or? The secret, such as it is, to my being able to play music is I attend PA Cyber Charter School.
Okay, that's, and my memory was that too. So that really gives you the chance to be able to do what you've been doing, because you've been traveling a lot, haven't you?
I've been traveling a lot. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's and one thing, and I can't remember if this is true or not, but actually somebody asked me to ask you about this. Did you have an accident causing you to have to learn how to play again, based like on a handbrake or a wrist brake?
Something like that.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, and I can't think of the year, which is, stupid of me. But
It's not too stupid at all. Just to let you know, I had to, I mentioned earlier I had some knee surgery done, and the doctor, they were doing your medical history, and they said, "What, you know, have you ever had any broken bones?" And I said, "Yeah," and I started to mention my broken bones. I could not remember whether I broke my right arm or my left arm. Now, I broke it when I was like 10 years old, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember. I'm sure you remember which.
yeah, I remember which.
Which one was affected.
Anyway, the story is that it's right after Hurricane Ike, which, you know, kind of dates it, but, you know, this hurricane comes through and, you know, big storms and everything, and we weathered through that, and seemed like everything was settling down, and I went outside and to look at the damage. There was a tree by the car, and we were afraid that, you know, the car had been damaged, and that tree broke and fell on me.
Whew.
Yeah.
And which arm?
It broke my my right arm.
Oh my gosh!
Into like six pieces. It's terrible. When I at one point at the hospital. The doctor called in his you know, resident and said, you know, look at this. This is the same kind of wound that you see from a gunshot.
Wow.
It was just terrible. And I was in the cast for 2 months, you know, a big bulky cast. I can't play like that. So, yeah, I didn't play for 2 months, and it was pretty tough. But I made it through, and the cast came off, and I got my mandolin, and it was this foreign object, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I did kind of have to start over again.
But yeah. Well, how old were you?
I was 13, I'm pretty sure.
That's a lot to try. And thanks for sharing the story. I wanted to mention it partly because somebody had asked me, but also just for other people that might need to recover from something like that, to know that if you sort of keep your mind to it, you can overcome that, because that had to be really frustrating.
It was tough, yeah.
To try to get all of that back. Well, I'd like to talk to you about some of the national things you've been up to, but why don't we get to another song? What would you like to do next?
Well, that Beethoven mandolin sonatina that I just played is referred to by classical musicians as Beethoven's best fiddle tune. And I thought it would be appropriate to play a bona fide fiddle tune to, you know, kind of compare the two. So this is a good old folk tune from, I think it's from Canada, but it's all hearsay, you know, I have no idea if it actually is or not, but it's called St. Anne's Reel. I've seen it St. Agnes's Reel, so maybe it's, you know, some British Isles, and it just came over to Canada with the immigrants, which is how a lot of this music came. But anyway, this is St. Anne's Reel.
Tuning in, you're hearing the mandolin of Gordon Neininger, and gosh, you sound just great. And listening to, you know, the precision, but also the clarity of the notes you're playing is just terrific. Now, I know one experience I wanted to ask you about is From the Top, which is a show I don't get to hear as often as I'd like, but that's sort of the American Idol of public radio, I guess.
Music, yeah.
Tell me, if you can pull that mic a little closer to you, tell me, just sort of pivot it. That's good. Tell me what that was like to go through that.
Well, From the Top, getting on From the Top is a life-changing experience. There's no other way to put it, really. It's fantastic.
How were you notified, or how did you even get involved?
Well, actually quite a number of years ago, a friend of mine who's now teaching at Winchester Thurston, which is, you know, excellent school. Her name is Shaloma Rella, or Shaloma Smith now, but she was a classical musician. She was at Indiana University for a while, and she dropped out of that and, you know, became a teacher and everything. But she recommended it to me. She, you know, said, "Have you heard of this thing called From the Top?" And I hadn't, and you know, we never really got around to it for a while. But then another friend of mine suggested it, and they said that there was a live audition coming up soon. I made a video and went to the live audition and, you know, did all their audition process, and I'd never done anything like that before. It was the first time I'd ever auditioned.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say, because you've, shy isn't the right word, but understated, I think, right? Because you've primarily paid attention to the craft and detail, I mean, wanting to be as great as you can get. At least that's how it struck me, not necessarily internationally famous.
That's not inaccurate for a while. So I went to the audition, and, you know, it was scary. There were a lot of really good musicians, you know, you could hear them through the walls.
What city was it in?
It was actually on the CMU campus.
Okay.
And this friend of mine who told me about it, her husband is a CMU professor, so, you know, that explains that. And like I said, it was scary. There were all these really, really good young musicians, and, you know, I got in the room and I played for the woman, and, you know, she's just, you know, staring at me real hard, professional, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is for real. And exactly a month later, they called me and said I was going to be on the show, that I was going to Boston, that I was going to play in New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall, and I just didn't believe it at first.
That had to blow you away.
Yeah, it just came out of a lesson, and my mother rushes in and she says, "Gordon, you're getting me on From the Top," and I'm like, "What? What do you mean?" And it was just incredible. And we went to Boston, and it was in New England Conservatory, which is a superlative school with a superlative hall. They from the top staff is just incredible. The fact that all these, you know, kids are like under 18. There's one who's 13. It's totally irrelevant. They're, you know, they're really professional. They treat the kids as professionals, and it's just amazing, the whole experience. And, you know, playing the actual recording, the performance. Again, I didn't believe it was actually happening. So I was actually, you know, very calm, and, you know, wasn't at all upset about it because I didn't think it was happening. When I got into the wings after playing, I started shaking and everything. It was just incredible. Like I said, it's a life-changing experience.
Now, after that performance, did you find people trying to contact you? And it's hard for me to imagine what your life would be like after that.
Well, it's a major confidence booster.
Well, that's a good...
So, I mean, just that is probably the biggest... thing,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I can do this. I can play music.
that's actually it's validation, right?
It is
from somebody who has no idea who you are.
Well, you know, they're so impartial that, you know, it's really scary, but I mean, it's really valuable to the kids because
it is validation. That's probably the most important, you know, after effect. But I did make a lot of contacts in Boston, and I'm thinking about going to one of the music schools in Boston, NEC, New England Conservatory, or possibly Berkeley.
I was curious about that. I assume you're going to go for performance.
Yeah, it's the strongest, you know, the thing I've looked into the most. Getting on from the top is also included a scholarship, a small scholarship to NEC, assuming they accept you. So, you know, there's still things to do. But, you know, NEC is affiliated with From the Top, which is, you know, why they allow them to use their facilities and everything.
But it's a great observation about confidence because, you know, you've had lots, I mean, from Charlie Rapoport,
right.
who I know was, I don't know if you're still working with him.
Oh, yeah.
Or not. And Paul Dvorak is here, and many people, myself included, who really admire your playing. But there's something about hearing it from somebody who doesn't really know you,
right.
Who's far away,
right.
Who you know is not just trying to be nice, even though, you know, that does not invalidate all of the nice things people genuinely mean when they talk to you.
Uh-huh.
That's a great observation. Well, let's have you play some more or
right,
add some more that I didn't want to cut you off if you were going to mention
fine.
Something.
I'll do another piece, and then we can have my friend Paul here join me. I owe him a great deal for coming out and helping me here, because when I got the call, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough material.
Okay.
So
well, I'll go wake him up while you're playing the next song.
All right. You know, the mandolin, really, actually, like the violin to a certain degree, is an Italian instrument. So it would make sense to play Italian music on an Italian instrument, I think. Actually, as it happens, there was a man who lived right around the turn of the century, you know, 1900s, named Raphael Calacci. And he was a pretty impressive guy. He made some of the best mandolins that are still highly sought after today. He wrote some of the most important mandolin repertoire, and he was a fabulous virtuoso. So, you know, he's just triple threat. It's crazy, but, you know, really impressive. So this is one of his Italian tunes. It's called Bolero, and Bolero number one. He wrote two of them, but no one plays the second one. And it's a cool tune, and here it is, Calacci's Bolero. Thank you.
that was absolutely terrific. And we're just going to make a quick change here. Andy will take care of that. I actually meant to undo what I did there for a second. I had I'd moved the mic in close to Gordon and wanted to move it out of the way before he started playing. And there we go, back once again. And we'll I only am describing that on the radio because I kind of liked it. It looked. I was going to ask you if you wanted to pick up the spare after we basically had a mic stand going over, but I wanted to be able to hear your voice well. That hearing that the range. I never thought about the range of the mandolin before. It's really. Do you know offhand how many octaves it is?
The mandolin actually has almost exactly the same range as the violin.
I was curious about that. Yeah.
It's tuned the same way. It's tuned in fifths. So if you play violin, you can probably play mandolin. You just have to figure out how to use a little tiny pick instead of a big bow.
Yeah. You're going to go for the spare. There, it must be the day for that because I've been hitting my mic all morning today and I have no excuses whatsoever. Do you play any other instruments or did you start on a different one?
I started on guitar, but that kind of trailed away with my obsession with the mandolin.
Yeah.
I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I could play violin. I wish I could play piano. I wish I could play really, you know, everything. That's something that happens to musicians. At a certain point, they just say, I want to play fill in the blank.
And you've got a lot of years left.
I know. But there are all these kids who start playing guitar when they're, you know, four, play violin when they're three. It's ridiculous. It's not fair.
When did you start playing mandolin?
I started playing mandolin, let's see, when I was... I guess, like, right before I turned 12 or so.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty early. If you're just joining us, this is Gordon Nonninger from Ben Avon, a player on From the Top on NPR, well-known in our area. He's concertmaster of the Mandolin Orchestra, and I don't know if they have any gigs coming up or not. I'll check if you don't know offhand.
Yeah. I can't think of the date, but this is the year of the Pittsburgh Mandolin Orchestra's 10th anniversary concert, which is it's a big deal. If you're going to come to a Mandolin Orchestra concert, that's the one to go to.
Absolutely.
That is sometime in September. You can find it on the internet at pittsburghmandolinsociety.org.
I'll find that out while you and Paul play. We woke Paul up. He's got the sleep out of his eyes, and there he is. Hi, Paul. Welcome back. How long have you guys been playing together?
Gordon and I?
Oh, hang on. We're going to get your mic on. Have you been playing together a while?
We've played a few times before. He's played with me and my dad at the Synod Hall. This is the first time we actually played violin and mandolin duet, so...
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's new territory.
Yeah, this is the second time we've done this.
Yeah, it's nice to see you with a fiddle in your hand, so it's going to be neat. Well, let's welcome. We've got, I think, five tunes, if I'm counting right, from Paul and Gordon. What are you guys going to open up with?
We're going to open up with Cherokee Shuffle.
Oh, good song. It's one of my favorites. By the way, Big Snow, Big Thaw is here, and they're setting up. They're going to be joining us in our next hour. Time now for Cherokee Shuffle. Thank you. Cherokee Shuffle. That was fun to hear go from slow to fast. I've heard that song not beginning with that shuffle beat, and it's neat to – I don't know if you've heard it done different ways. I usually have heard it done pretty much up-tempo the start. So hearing the build is nice. I think we'll be okay here. That'll work. What would you like to do next?
We put the set list together about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Yes.
Those are the best kind.
It's the best kind, yeah. It's the bluegrass way.
Yeah.
That version of starting out slow is an invention of Paul's. And it's
really?
It's how we played it both times at the...
At Synod Hall with Dueling Mandos, too.
Dueling Mandos.
Yeah, I like... Well, it's got the true, you know, shuffle type beat at the beginning. And most... And I can't think of who... We have multiple versions of it here, but I think they all begin, you know, up-tempo and stay that way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's a fun way to play.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Paul, for coming up with that.
Yes. Get the patent quick, because now everybody knows.
Right.
Everybody knows.
All right. We're going to move on with a good old tune called Bluegrass Stomp.
Bluegrass Stomp.
Was delightful. I could really tell that you enjoy playing these songs. You guys are really good together.
Thank you.
Too.
We've not really played very often over the years, but we've known each other for quite a while.
Quite a while now, yeah.
How did you guys meet?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I guess through Charlie Rappaport. My dad was taking lessons, still is taking lessons from Charlie.
Yeah.
And introduced the two of you, and then a couple years back, was it 2 years ago you played Synod Hall the first time with us?
That was only 2 years ago,
2 years ago, yeah. So my dad called them up, and they came over. We played and had a good time, so we've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, that's the best way to meet those accidental encounters. I looked at the Pittsburgh Mandolin website, and I think that concert's in September, sound about right, for the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
So you can go there. It's Pittsburgh... Mandolin Society. Is it .com or .org? Hang on, I'll tell you. I know that these guys know, but I wanted to be sure you knew. It's Pittsburgh Mandolin Society .org or Pittsburgh Mandolins OCity.org, which is the way I looked at it the first time.
Right, yes.
OCity. But it's it's Pittsburgh Mandolin Singular Society.
Exactly, yes.
So we're going to... we lost Paul.
We lost Paul.
He'll be back.
These instruments are delicate creatures. That
oh, he went out to tune. How kind of him.
I know.
Nobody ever does that.
Did you know that... you know, I mentioned the mandolin is an Italian instrument, and... mandolin is Italian for out of tune.
Paul, you didn't have to go stand by the drapes to tune. That was nice of you to do that, but gosh, everyone loves to hear tuning.
Yeah. It's so authentic sounding.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Well, Clinch Mountain,
yeah.
In the theme of old tunes that are good, this is an old tune that is good.
Clinch Mountain is an actual place, but I have no idea where it is.
It's near Ralph Stanley.
There you go.
In his voice.
There you go. It's another real fun one. It's a weird one. The back step is in reference to the dance step that would be danced to it. It has a extra beat randomly in the middle of the second half, and that is where everyone would step back.
Huh.
Hence the name. Or so I'm told.
I didn't know that.
I have no idea if it's true or not, but it's what I've heard.
You're becoming an ethnomusicologist.
I guess it sort of happens.
That's a good thing.
Anyway, Clinch Mountain backstep.
Right.
That's beautifully done. Paul Dvorak on fiddle along with Gordon Neidinger playing mandolin. The thing there that really struck me was the dynamic range. You playing so soft, you playing louder than you playing so soft, you playing it's not easy to make those instruments do that.
And
that's what we were working on last week when you came over.
Last week, that was, what, 2 days ago?
Was it?
Yeah, Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of an interesting thing, you know. Fiddle and mandolin is not a standard combination, but when you have just two people, you know, you can do things like, you know, dynamic. You can get a lot louder and softer. You don't really hear that so much with a full, you know, six-piece bluegrass band.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are challenges and benefits and all this stuff. It's different. It's really interesting.
It is. And I can't recall, if I studied it for a while, I probably could remember hearing a duo of mandolin and fiddle before, but it's not coming to mind right now. And it does lead to some interesting things, such as the dynamic difference, because normally I think you either hear a fiddle way out front or at all, and kind of like that with a mandolin, but here you've got the full texture of both instruments as you're playing. If you're just tuning in, Gordon Nonninger, along with Paul Dvorak, and I think we've got one more to go. And what's that? First of all, is there anything that either of you should have mentioned that I haven't mentioned? How's your band doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We had a great time at Delfest a couple weeks ago, and today's kind of Delfest Part 2 in Pittsburgh with the Bluegrass Day.
Yeah,
at the Arts Fest.
When will you be on stage? Do you know
we go on at 2, from 2 to 3:30.
Okay, so
is that 2 today?
2 today, yeah.
2 today.
Yeah.
This week, not last week.
Yeah.
This week. 2 today. So look for Paul there.
Yeah, come on down. It's going to be a great time.
And I'm sure if you're a mandolin player and want to meet other mandolin players, the Mandolin Orchestra probably would love to have you visit their website at PittsburghMandolinSociety.org. Society, social, friendly. So you want to do that. And lots of great bluegrass today at the Arts Festival. So nice to have you here.
It's great to be here again. You know, it's been too long.
Yeah. Well, we're going
to
we'd love to have you again. So if this is after, you know, playing together on and off for a short period of time, I mean, it doesn't get much better than this. So you guys sound terrific. What do you want to close up with?
Well, this is a another traditional one. It's been totally reworked. I developed this with a friend of mine, Ray Bruckman, and worked on it a little bit more myself to make it even less traditional. But the tune's called Angelina Baker, and according to some people, it's written by Stephen Foster. I understand that there's another Angelina Baker that was written by Stephen Foster, and this is just some old fiddle tune with the same name. Like I said, you know, this is all folk music, you know, nothing's hard and fast. It's hard to say on all of these things, but I've been calling since it's, you know, not really Angelina Baker the way, you know, the old guys at the jam would say. So I've been referring to it as Eveline the Baker. Anyway, this is Angelina Baker. You'll recognize it eventually as that, otherwise known as Eveline the Baker. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gordon Einiger and Paul Dvorak. I hope we'll have you both back very soon, live from historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUPFM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, Ohio, 91.1 WSAJ Grove City, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47 Pittsburgh, and live and on demand at slbradio.org, where it's always Saturday. Big Snow, Big Thaw coming up in just a few moments. Good morning to Marty and...